different theme, and March's theme is good and evil. A lot of times we think of good and evil as opposites. People are good or they're evil. Actions are good or they are evil. But life is rarely that simple. To help us think more about our theme, Adam and I are going to tell you a story about a very special box. This is it.
Once upon a time, there was a woman named Rowan, who was tall, brave, and very, very smart. She was a biologist and an inventor and spent lots of time in the woods near this very church gathering water samples. One day, she was climbing over a nurse log, trying not to tear the fragile moss, when her foot got caught, and she tripped and rolled down into a ravine. "Ouch," she said out loud. "Ouch, ouch, ouch." Rowan's ankle looked funny and hurt a lot. When she tried to stand up on it, she yelled, "Ouch," really loud, before toppling over onto the ground. "Oh dear," she said to a bird perched on a nearby tree. "Now what am I going to do?"
Rowan drummed her fingers on her chin while she thought and thought, but she couldn't figure out how to get help. She couldn't walk, and she left her cell phone in her car. What a pickle! She scooted around until her back was against a nice, soft, mossy tree, and she got comfortable while she waited for someone to come along and help. She got so comfortable, she even fell asleep.
Well, two men were walking on a trail nearby, heard a funny rumbling noise. At first, they thought it was thunder, but the sky was clear, pearly blue. Then they thought, oh no, an earthquake. But the ground wasn't moving, the birds were happily chirping, not flying away. What was that strange sound? Was it a giant tree being cut down? The loud, reverberating sawing noise got louder and louder until one of the men tripped over a vine and tumbled down into the ravine. "Ouch," he said. "Ouch, ouch, ouch." Rolled down the hill and right into Rowan, who had been fast asleep and snoring very loudly. "Ouch," said the man. "Ouch," said Rowan. "Wow," said the third man. "You can really snore." "Thanks a bunch," said Rowan, ruefully.
The men helped Rowan up, and one carried her back to the car, while the other one carried her test tubes full of water samples. Rowan was relieved that her nap in the forest was over and asked the men, "How can I ever repay your kindness? Was there any gift I could give them? I could give you," she said. The men smiled broadly at her. "There is nothing at all that we need. Our hearts are so full of happiness. For years we've been waiting to adopt a baby, and this morning we found out that an infant girl will join our family tomorrow. We are so excited."
Rowan thought for a minute, again tapping her chin. "Well, I might have a gift for the baby then, something I invented. But you have to be sure to use it only when absolutely necessary, and be very careful. Too much of a good thing can be a bad thing, after all." Rowan opened her trunk and pulled out a beautiful box. She told the men, "Put the things that you most fear will hurt the child into this box, and she will be protected. If you put a bee into the box, she will never be stung. If you put in cough syrup, she'll never get sick. But don't overuse the box. Children need challenges and hardships to help them grow."
The men were thrilled to have the gift, and they promised to use it with care. However, when their baby, tiny little Dora, was in their arms, they couldn't imagine ever letting any pain come her way. They loved her so much. They couldn't stand to think of her ever getting hurt. So into the box, they put the bee and the cough syrup, but also a vine she could trip over and a necklace that could choke and a few angry words they felt one long afternoon when she wouldn't stop fussing.
Well, now Dora grew up perfectly happy and completely protected from any harm or sadness. She never scraped her knee or heard an impatient word from her dad's. She never sweated through a night with the flu, was never stung by a bee, until one sunny day when a tearful little boy knocked at Dora's door. Opening it, she noticed wetness on his cheek and wondered why his eyes were so red. Why did his mouth turn downward at the edges instead of up? She was frightened and screamed. Her dads heard her yell and ran to the door, finding the boy crying even harder after Dora's yelling. "My puppy is lost," he said. "I can't find him anywhere. Have you seen my little brown puppy?"
"What," Dora asked, "is a puppy?" Dora's dad had never let her have a pet. What if it got sick or died and she was sad? The boy explained, "A puppy is a little furry animal you can play with," he said, "and throw the ball to. And when you are sad, a puppy will sit in your lap and lick your face until it's all sticky and you don't have any more tears. A puppy will follow you everywhere to make sure that you are safe and always be happy when you come home."
"Well, puppies sound great," Dora said. "Why aren't you happy?" The boy replied, "My puppy is gone. I love him very much and I can't find him." Dora felt a funny feeling in her chest. She felt warm and tingly and the corners of her mouth started to turn down. She felt wetness on her cheeks. She was crying for the very first time. Dora's dads were very alarmed. Dora was crying. Dora had never felt sad or hurt before, and this little boy was making her cry. They didn't know what to do. He was much too big to put in their box. Maybe they could chase him away.
Well, they conferred. Dora took the little boy's hand and said, "We can help you find your puppy. Your missing puppy makes me feel bad inside, but knowing I could help makes me feel good." "Dads," she interrupted, "dads, let's help find the puppy." Soon Dora and her dads and the little boy were searching in the woods behind their house. They looked under the tall trees and behind the big boulders. Dora and the boy crawled under the thorny bushes and gazed into the deep ravine. Finally, Dora heard of the whimper of a scared animal under a nearby fern. Gently reaching under the fronds, she felt the soft fur of a puppy and felt its warm tongue lick her hand. The puppy soon toddled out and jumped into the little boy's arms.
Yippee! The puppy was found! Dora felt happier than she ever had before. She felt like her heart would burst with joy. Later that night, after Dora had a bath, her dads tucked her into bed. They told her the story of the scientist named Rowan and her gift. They admitted that they had protected her from all the bad, hard things in the world because they loved her so much. However, by protecting her, they had prevented her from feeling compassion. By missing out on the hard parts of life, she was missing out on the joy of helping other people. Hand in hand, they walked down the stairs to the living room and took the box from its high shelf. With all three of them holding it, they pitched it into the fireplace, where soon it was consumed by the flames. The box was no more.
Soon, Dora had the normal life of a little girl, with some bad stuff and some good stuff. Once in a while, she fell over a vine or was stung by a bee. Sometimes another little kid would hurt her feelings. Dora was okay, though. She had the love of her family and all her new friends. Because she had both good things and bad things in her life, she could feel empathetic. She could feel compassion for every creature. And so she lived, mostly happily, ever after. Please rise and join me for singing Building Bridges, one of our youth's favorite hymns. As I mentioned, this month we are talking about good and evil. And thinking about good and evil also always makes me think of superheroes. What are the names of your favorite superheroes? Batman, Water Woman, Wonder Woman. What else? Mr. Incredible. Anybody like Spider-Man? Anybody? Spider-Man fans? I love Spider-Man. What else? Do we have Captain America? Batman is a popular one. Super Plastic Man? Does that really exist? Superheroes have special abilities, magic powers that make it possible for them to fight evil. What is Spider-Man's magic ability? Webs. He can shoot webs out of his fingers. He's super strong. He's like a spider. He can climb things. What's Wonder Woman's special ability? She can last. She has a lasso of truth. That's right. In Catholic churches, saints are thought to have similar abilities. Saints are a lot like superheroes. They're regular humans, though, like us, but they have something extraordinary, something that makes them really special. They're very patient or very kind, or they're very brave. Saints and superheroes are meant to inspire us, to help us find our own special talents, to encourage us to be extra brave or extra kind. We're going to do something special today. Brace yourselves. It's going to be fun. While we accept our morning offering and during the offertory anthem, I invite everyone to think about a superhero who has qualities that you'd like to invite into your own lives. It might help to first call to mind a situation you're in that is difficult or stressful, and think about what qualities would help you in that situation. And then think of a superhero who would be perfect for tackling that problem. Chris Polina suggested that if you are having a lot of conflict with your parents or your family, you might call on the qualities of Peaceman and imagine what this hero would do when faced with a difficult situation. Or if you felt like you were confused about your life's purpose, you might invent a hero called the Purpose Porpoise, a sad creature or a sea creature who can swim through confusion at lightning speeds. Your heroes don't have to be completely original creations. If you think of a person who has qualities you admire, Gandhi or Susan B. Anthony, or a fictional character, Harry Potter or Katniss Evergreen, that's just fine too. You can use them. When you've got your hero in mind, please grab a pencil. They're under your chair. And write or draw a picture of your superhero on your piece of paper. If you don't have paper or you don't have a pencil, wave to an usher and they will help you. Just put your hand up. They're in the back. We're going to give you about 7 minutes to do this. And remember, this doesn't have to be a masterpiece. This is just a sketch, a brainstorm. So in comics and movies, there's often a superhero who is shown as being always brave, always helpful, always good, who is fighting a supervillain who is always bad, always hurtful, and always mean. But in real life, there's more to the story than that. Even the kindest and most generous people have the capacity to do bad things sometimes. And even those people who do terrible and cruel things, those people we call the bad guys, they don't spend every second of their lives hurting other people. They also have some good in them. It's very simple to think of a world where some people are all good and some people are all bad, but not only is that thinking not true, it's dangerous. So Chris told me a story to illustrate this point. So there's a cartoon called Kirby, Right Back Atcha. Has anyone seen this cartoon? Kirby, Right Back Atcha. And it follows this hero, Kirby, who is a magical flying marshmallow, and his enemy, and the marshmallow has an enemy named King Dedede, who is proud and very short-tempered and always trying to hurt Kirby. And of course, he always loses. There's a very strange episode of this show called Sweet and Sour Puss, in which King Dedede surprises everyone in the kingdom when his personality suddenly shifts. It's a very dramatic change. Instead of being angry and hurtful, he is completely calm, forgiving, and kind. Everyone in the kingdom is understandably suspicious about this drastic change. And to figure out if he's tricking them, the entire kingdom takes turns hitting him on the head with mallets. Cartoons are strange. They feed him gross food, they trip him when he's gone the stairs, you name it, they do all these terrible things to the king. But the king remains completely placid. Nothing seems to bother him. Now, you'd think that everybody would be really happy that the king had had this big personality shift. The bad guy is a good guy now. But instead, they keep hurting him more and more, trying to get him to react. Long story short, we find out that the king has somehow been brainwashed to be good, but there's a limit to how long he can go without blowing up. After tons of abuse, he does blow up, followed by an epic battle full of mallets and explosions. At the end, King Dedede returns to his nasty old self. After hitting one of his servants on the head with a mallet, there's a lot of mallets in this show, lots of mallets. The servant says, "It hurts me to say this, but I'm glad that he is back." And everyone laughs in agreement. Now, maybe if I had seen any of the 54 other episodes of this show, I'd have a more generous view of Kirby and the people in this kingdom. But after seeing this episode, I was left wondering, well, who was the bad guy supposed to be? And why didn't they just accept the king's happy new personality for the wonderful happening that it was? I realized that, much like we heard in the story of Dora's box, it's tempting to put all the bad things into one place, or all the bad people into one category, because then we can say, you're the problem, instead of looking at us, looking at ourselves and everyone else, and saying, we all do good sometimes, and we all do bad sometimes, and we could all do something to make the world better. It can be difficult to look at someone else and see that they are complicated people and that at times they can be happy or sad or angry or kind. But as we live our lives, we have to work on seeing these truths or we won't be able to see other people in the way we would like them to be seen, as real, whole people.